broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're radio for patriots by patriots. We welcome you to our program here, and we also invite you to join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, where we have live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD, as a matter of fact. Hey, bud, where is it?
What?
Where's our title, man? Where's the... Wow, man. We lost our Phil TV title. I don't know what happened there, but... I see. Well, you know. In any event...
What happened?
Well, we usually have a little Phil TV graphic there, and it went away, but now it's back. Okay, so...
Where is it?
I fixed it already, okay?
Here, let me fix it.
You get away from there.
You already fixed it, man.
Anyway, welcome to our program, and as I said, we're on live streaming video right now, as well as all of our great affiliates across the country, and like that. 877-877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of things that we're going to deal with this evening. One of them is a vote that just was taken, I believe, in New York City, in the state of New York, not New York City, but... in the state of New York, having to do with gay marriage. It is passed in New York. We're going to talk about that with Doug Danger in just a moment. Then Chris Norton joins us, Chris Norton from Norton Splodes, and the issue of a website devoted to what he calls the M&M MILFs, double M MILFs, murdering mothers, I'd like to blank. And the entire issue around that regarding Casey Anthony. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight is on KPRC in Houston and WZFG Fargo, North Dakota. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Now, New York lawmakers narrowly voted to legalize same-sex marriage on Friday, handing activists a breakthrough victory in the state where the gay rights movement was born. New York's the nation's third most populous state joins Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., in legally recognizing gay marriage. Gay rights advocates are hoping the vote will galvanize the movement around the country and help it regain momentum after an almost identical bill was defeated in New York in 2009 and similar measures failed in 2010 in New Jersey and this year in Maryland and in Rhode Island. A bill like that, of course, passed in the state of California and then was automatically, not automatically, but was immediately challenged by a referendum voted on by the people of the state of California, making it unconstitutional. And that rolled that back and became a target of a great many court challenges. No on 8 is still being challenged in the state of California, and it's anybody's guess at this particular time. A huge street party erupted, by the way, outside of the Stonewall Inn on Friday. That was where the initial, if you will, gay rights challenge to authority took place, the Stonewall Riots in the summer of 1969 in Greenwich Village, New York. Doug Danger joins us. Doug, you are a gay man and a gay journalist, and how are you feeling tonight?
Well, I think it's the beginning, Phil, and I think, as I've said on your program before, we've got a lot of work to do before we are able to push this rock over the top of the hill. New York is a big moment for gay people in this country. California would have been a big moment, but California backed off. California lost its nerve. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and one of the things that I find that I pride myself in is being able to see who's got it, who doesn't, who can stand there and test the winds, the storms of time, if you will, and who is going to hide from the from these winds of change. New York did not hide. New York took on the challenge. New York passed it. California folded like a, you know, to put it in the axiom of the old joke, folded up like a cheap Chinese suitcase. It was a disgrace, but New York has given us hope again, Phil, but we're going to need a little bit more. We're going to need a face. We're going to need a galvanizing point around which gay people around this country can rally.
Right. Well, here is New York State Senate. The New York State Senate stood on the right side of history, said Queens teacher Eugene Lovendusky, who is gay and said he hopes to marry someday. He repeated a chant he'd screamed during a protest at the Obama fundraiser, "I'm somebody, I deserve full equality." Cindy Lauper said, quote, "I've never been prouder to be a lifelong New Yorker than I am today with the passage of marriage equality." Cindy Lauper, the singer. A number of celebrities also praised the Senate vote. Lady Gaga tweeted that she couldn't stop crying, while Pink tweeted, "Congratulations, about time."
These are all, I think, great accolades coming from people who worked very, very hard, Phil. But I got together with Jim Rifko and a couple of other writers here on the West Coast. We feel that while the Cyndi Laupers of the world, the Lady Gagas of the world, and so on and so forth are good, we need a galvanizing image, and we need a galvanizing image that is going to be rock solid, that isn't going to go anywhere. We are very saddened, as you are, Phil, as many people are, to note the passing of the great, great star, Peter Falk.
Yes, the Columbo.
Well, Columbo was just one of many things that Peter Falk did. Peter Falk was in Murder Incorporated. Peter Falk was in Pocketful of Miracles. Peter Falk he had two Oscar nominations. He collected five Emmy Awards. Very, very thoughtful man. He also, later on in life, was a part of the John Cassavetes, franchise.
John Cassavetes is considered to be the father of independent film.
Yes, he was in Shadows. He was in Husbands. A Woman Under the Influence. So Peter Falk was very close with John Cassavetes. And he also did comedy. It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. Peter Falk is the perfect person, I think, to use as a symbol of the fight for gay rights.
And was he gay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. Peter Falk was straight. But Peter Falk has now passed on. He's fought his good fight. So Peter Falk is no more. And we can use Peter Falk's image, the name, and of course this body of great work that he did as a great artist, as a great actor, and as a man that was fearless in his own life, to push forward the gay message that we want gay equality. And
well, wait, I'm a little bit confused. You would use Peter Falk. He's not gay, okay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. He was married. But he is now passed on. So you could, my feeling, talking to Jim Rifko and a few of the others, my feeling is you can reconstruct or repurpose Peter Falk's life in this sense that he is now a gay actor and he is now the symbol of the gay movement.
And first of all, how do you do that without his family's consent?
Well, his family, I think, first of all, Phil, Peter Falk was very liberal. Peter Falk was very much a liberal artist. I don't see his family having a problem with that. But more to the point, even if they did, there is nothing illegal about being gay. So if we said that Peter Falk is gay, you're not going to sue me, because that's like saying Phil Hendry has brown eyes. Do you?
No, I don't.
No, you've got blue eyes.
Yes.
Well, it's not sueable. It's not actionable. I haven't really hurt you by saying that you have brown eyes.
Yeah, but you could hurt Peter Falk. And
how can I hurt Peter Falk by saying he is something that is legal? If I said that he is something that is legal, gay, I can't hurt him. By definition, I can't hurt him. So,
all right, but would you attempt to get the family's approval?
Well, here's my thinking. Certainly we would want the family to sign off on this, but that's not really the point. The point is Peter Falk is known to his friends and to his family as a straight man, but we would use Peter Falk as a gay man and a gay actor who fought tenaciously for gay rights, who, as a gay, was kept out of, and not as much as other gays were kept out of other professions because it was the acting profession. And it was already, in the words of so many that were opposed to us, it was already infested and crawling with gays. But to be a gay man and a gay actor, you'd never know it. You felt as alone as ever. I mean, the journalist business was probably crawling with gays. It stunk with gays. But I never knew it when I first got in because I felt I was the only gay. Oh, man, did I feel. I thought I was the only, excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but I felt I was the only queer writer within thousands of miles.
And so there was no real contact between gay writers. There's no real contact between gay actors at a particular point in time.
Yeah.
All right, I understand that, but I'm still wondering how you can take Peter Falk, who just passed on, who is beloved, his character Columbo, if nothing else, was so brilliantly done, like Leonard Nimoy's Spock, like our good friend. William Shatner's Captain Kirk, like Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, like Bela Lugosi playing Dracula. There are actors who so fully create a character and so bring it to life so brilliantly that we never think of them as anything else. And that was Peter Falk.
Well, that was Peter Falk, exactly, Phil. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I am telling you that Peter Falk has more work to do. Peter Falk is gay. He's a homosexual. He's not alive anymore, but when he lived, he was a homosexual actor. And he was a struggling homosexual, and really, I think, gave us so much to fight for through his leadership.
Now, yeah, but none of that's true.
I understand that none of it's true, but that's what we need to do now with Peter Falk, now that he is passed on. We take his image, we take his name, we thank his family very much, thank you very much, and we take it and we say, we take his image and we take his name and we put him up on that big billboard in Times Square and we say, Peter Falk, queer. And what are we doing? We're using him now.
People are going to be very angry. You can say what you want about the homophobia of this country. There, not everybody that is uncomfortable with what you're doing is a full-on homophobe. They might want gay marriage. They may be in favor of every kind of equality that you could possibly give to a gay person. But they may be very, very upset or put out with you taking Peter Falk's name and attaching to it, he was a homosexual.
We need a strong... You got to understand something, Phil. This is not something that... I don't think you understand. We need a strong leader. We need a strong image. We need a strong symbol to gather around. We don't have Harvey Milk anymore, okay? We don't have some of the great leaders anymore. All we can do now is take a big name, someone who doesn't need that name anymore, Peter Falk, and repurpose Peter Falk as gay. Repurpose Peter Falk as a homosexual who struggled all of his life and overcame those odds, and
repurpose.
Will you listen to me? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And the things that I know and the things that I've seen would make you and many of your listeners vomit. All right, Phil?
I understand that, Doug.
Just hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the things that I've had to go through, the things that I've seen, the discrimination I've faced, the brutality that I've seen against my community and against me personally, if you or any of your audience had to experience that, they would never stop throwing up. Okay? Peter Falk now belongs to the gay community.
And why is that?
Because, all right, I'll give you an answer. Because I said so. How does that...
Well, that's not how it works, okay? The guy has a name.
I know the guy has a name. I understand that he has a name. I'm not asking him to sell potato chips. I'm not asking Peter Falk to sell razor blades. I'm not asking Peter Falk to promote a political candidate. I'm asking Peter Falk, and I'm not even asking Peter Falk, because he's dead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling Peter Falk that from this point forward, we need him as the image of the gay community.
All right, how does this work out then? Peter Falk, a homosexual, wants us to...
Yes, Peter Falk, a gay actor, a gay man and a gay actor, wants us to pass gay marriage in this country. Peter Falk fought for this all of his life.
Peter, these are lies, Doug. These are lies. They are...
No, they are not lies. Why do you say they're lies?
Peter Falk never did that.
So in other words, you're saying he was against human rights.
No, he was not against human rights. Is what I knew of Peter Falk, he was not against human rights, of course. But he never... You don't know what he did.
And you don't know what he did. And to say that Peter Falk fought against discrimination, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. To say that Peter Falk was a homosexual who wanted equality in acting, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
How is that not a bad... Why is that a good thing?
Is it bad?
It's not true. It's not true.
Is it bad?
Is it bad to say that Peter Falk was a homosexual? In the minds of...
In your eyes, is that bad? But watch how you answer this. Watch it, man, because you could rip the lid right off of your egalitarian persona, Phil.
I would say that saying something about a man that isn't true is bad.
Boy, do you hate queer...
Hold on for a minute. I had to put him on hold there. I apologize, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Doug Danger and others want to use Peter Falk as the new symbol of the gay community. He's dead. He passed on. He's no longer with us. He wouldn't mind being used as a symbol of the equality of gay people. And as Doug said, they want to, quote, repurpose Peter Falk's life so that he was a gay actor seeking equal rights, and he becomes the new symbol of the gay community. Is this fair? Even if it's not anything necessarily negative, can you do that with a man's name because he happens to be famous? 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the world-famous, and you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, you can't believe what? We have Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. He's a writer, a gay man, and gay journalist, and the vote is in New York. The New York State Legislature has approved a bill that would legalize gay marriage. Now, who knows if they're in store for a constitutional challenge or a referendum challenge or something like that, Doug, but for now... It is for people who support the equal rights of gay people, it's good news.
Right, and Phil, I would say to your audience, you have always been one who claimed to support gay rights. And yet tonight you're giving me an argument.
And well, the argument I'm giving you is that you want to use Peter Falk as the face of gay rights in this country. And
I want to use a man who is a great artist, a great actor, a man who is, I think, well known as a liberal and a person who supported artistic rights and human rights. Yes, and say Peter Falk was gay. He had a gay lover. We can talk of any number of actors who'd be good that we are auditioning right now who can play the part of this gay, of a gay that he lived with. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been down a road that would make you vomit.
I already know your credentials of having been down the road and things are really rough. I know that, Doug.
Well, don't minimize it by telling me I don't know what I'm talking about.
And I don't. When it comes to your life, you know everything. When it comes to Peter Falk's life, I'm just saying I don't know that you can just automatically say, okay, great, Peter Falk's dead. Now we'll use him as a symbol of gay rights.
Well, anybody who is a hardcore fan of Peter Falk knows that he's not gay. Anyone who's a fan of Peter Falk. We'll think he was gay, but it won't matter.
And hardcore fan as opposed to a regular fan.
Exactly.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. We have David. You're on The Phil Hendry Show. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm personally offended that this man would say something derogatory about Peter Falk.
That's not derogatory. There's nothing derogatory about a legal... No, it's not. It's a legal state. Being gay is legal. Can't be derogatory.
You can make up anything about anybody that's passed away, then. Why don't you...
No, I can't. It's not only... No, you can't say that the guy was a child molester. That's illegal. Can't say he was a murderer. But I could say someone's a heterosexual. I could say someone's gay. I could say somebody had blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, but why would you do that? The point that I'm saying is this. Don't you feel you need to just get someone's...
No, I wouldn't want to lie about it. I wouldn't use you, David, with all due respect, because nobody knows who you are. But I would use Peter Falk because people know him.
Well, that's glad. You know, some of us that... Maybe he was... Your role model should be Rock Hudson. Look what happened to him.
Rock Hudson. I'm not familiar with him.
He was an actor. He died of AIDS.
All right. So he died. All the better. I can't use him. I would rather use Peter Falk And
well, this guy's saying something very intelligent. Why not use a gay man?
Who do you want me to use? No gays have died lately. And by the way, who says Peter Falk wasn't gay? Do you know that for a fact, David? No.
I know that he was married. Of course he was married.
There's a lot of gay guys that are married. Are you crazy? Come on, man. Wake up. Wake up, son.
All right, now, I don't want anything said on this show that you know for a fact Peter Falk was gay. Do you understand that?
Whoa, wait a minute, Sunshine.
No, don't call me Sunshine. Whether the man was or wasn't, we can sit here and talk about how you use that, but I don't want you saying you know for a fact. We'll be back with Phil Doug Danger. Henry. Phil Henry. 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're broadcasting from the El Pacifico. In the background here on Phil TV, though, is the Earth Cam from Hollywood Boulevard. Seems like a regular night as the summer begins here out on the West Coast. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, talking about the vote in New York State today to legalize gay marriage. It is a very big moment, and I do congratulate the people that worked so hard, all gay people in New York and across the country, Doug.
Well, you know, that sounds real nice, Phil, but when you talk to me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Well, you know, your irritation at the fact that I'm gay.
I'm not irritated that you're gay. I'm talking to you about Peter Falk, the man who passed on yesterday from Alzheimer's, 83 years of age, an accomplished man. He had one hell of a career as an actor, and you've decided that you want to take his name and his image and turn him gay.
Right, and you're trying to say, you and other straights, don't make him into a gay. You're basically making him into some kind of a crawling animal. Okay, I got news for you, Phil.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're saying something that isn't true.
I'm saying something that is, it transcends truth. Peter Falk is strong. He's gay. All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. He's gay. So,
well, you can't just say that.
I'm saying it. Peter Falk is gay.
All right, I know he's not because I was a fan of his.
You're a super fan. I understand that. Most people were not. And if I say, you know, Peter Falk, the guy that was Columbo, they go, yeah. Excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but queer is a $3 bill. And they will...
And you're going to get an actor to play his lover, and you're going to construct a whole phony life just so you can promote gay rights.
It is to promote equal rights and civil rights. I'm shocked, I'm surprised that you don't see it that way.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Bob in Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bob, you're on with Doug Danger.
Hey man, hey Phil. It's my first time listening. I like your
thank you.
Show, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the deal. You talk about Doug. You there, bud?
Bun?
You
yeah,
there?
I'm here. Yeah, and,
okay,
and this isn't the first time. And this is not the first time you listen to the show either. Go ahead.
No, it really is. But check it out, man.
Yeah, it really is. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. You know, you're awfully.
Are you gay?
Stuff,
let me ask you. Are you gay?
I'm not. No. But listen, okay, you say that you want to reach out to this guy now that he's dead. You can't just repurpose the guy's legacy that he's left behind. You know, you can't just tell a lie about who he was and that.
Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. My biggest issue
yes,
is
sir.
This. I've been in the journalism business for 20 years now, okay, up here in the Northeast. And you can't, and Doug, I know you're listening to me. You can't call yourself a journalist and throw out things that you are admitting you know are wrong and are lies just to advance an agenda. That's not.
Well, I don't know that you're a journalist. I don't know you're a journalist. I don't know that you're a journalist, and I don't take advice from anonymous people to call talk shows. All right. I know what I do. I know what I do, and I know how I back up what I do. You can't tell me how to write. You know, I'm in the business, and the number one my number one competition is you. So I don't need your advice or how you might write a story. So that you don't get the job. I get the job. And I get the job because I go about doing these things, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay?
That's all well and good. Sure.
You know that? All right, good. So I get the job done, especially when it comes to a topic like this.
You said it every 10 seconds.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, you don't know it. But see, I'm out there, doing it. I'm out there, I'm out there getting the story.
Life and legacy. I don't.
That's right.
First of all, I applaud New York State, and I, you know, we're from Massachusetts. First ones in the country to pass this law, and proud of it. You don't know if I'm gay or straight, and I'm not going to tell you
whatever.
I'm gay or straight, because it doesn't matter. What matters is
I'm a gay man and a
lie.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Congratulations.
I'm a gay man and a gay. Okay,
here's
but what I'm saying is this. I know what I'm talking about, see? You don't.
No, that's not. That you can't say that, Doug. You can't say that.
Why can't I say that?
You don't know me.
You're both writers. You're both journalists. You're both men who go and look for the story.
The job of a journalist is to find the truth in the story.
Okay, fine. But do you say.
And you're admitting to telling a lie.
What I'm admitting to. No, I'm not. Am I on the radio right now telling you that Peter Falk, we're going to make him gay? Is that telling a lie, or is that telling you a strategy?
And then when Phil asks,
is that telling you a lie, or is that telling you a strategy? I'm telling you a strategy.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know
exactly what he was. I mean, we think he was straight, but we don't know that. But here's the thing, Phil says.
Oh,
to you,
no! Now we don't know.
Well, we don't. We don't. I wasn't.
Let me ask you something. If you died, Kevin. If you died, and I said, now we're going to make Kevin head of the gay community. Kevin is now gay. What does that really hurt?
You know what? That may hurt a lot of people. It may hurt a little boy.
Aha! Uh-huh. So now you're saying being gay is negative.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you right now, Doug. Legal or not, it could hurt people.
Well, now I've heard it all. So all you guys, you and Kevin and everybody, being gay is fine. I'm for equal rights, but let's face it, being gay is bad. That's what you're saying.
No. Being gay is fine, but going out and picking somebody that you want to, anybody in the community, any star that you want to, and just saying as they are to advance your agenda, that's not journalism, and it's not right.
Why not? Well, I didn't say I was being a journalist. I said I was being an activist.
Well, which are you, a journalist or an activist?
You can't be both. You keep saying
I'm a gay man, and
I'm going to use this guy. Here you go. Say it again.
Wait a minute. I can't be both? Are you kidding me? I can't be both? What do you call Hunter Thompson? You don't think Hunter Thompson's an activist? You don't think that Norman Mailer? You don't think that Truman Capote?
Those guys weren't journalists in the sense that you guys are.
Hey, excuse me, Phil, if you don't mind. I'm talking to a fellow journalist, so if you could shut up.
If I could, I'm not going to shut up.
Phil, are you not a journalist?
I'm a talk show host, I would say.
He's not a journalist. He's a professional performer. He's a SEAL. A trained SEAL.
I'll tell you what, Doug. You've crossed that line and become quite a performer tonight yourself, because what you're telling us is that you're putting out there this whole agenda, and you're telling us that we have to get behind it or else we are anti-gay. And you know what? That's not true. I'm not anti-gay.
You know,
I'm very proud of Massachusetts. I'm proud of New York State tonight. And here you are telling me that you're going to take somebody who has no say in the matter just because they died, and now you can use them, and you're going to advance your agenda with that. And then right after you say that, 10 seconds later, you're going to say, I'm a gay man and I'm a journalist.
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm also a gay activist. I'm also somebody who knows when America is way behind the clock. We're way behind the ball on civil rights. Let's face it. We were way behind the ball on civil rights with black people. Now we're supposed to stand around and wait because Kevin wants to make sure that my credentials are in order. You want
to
make sure my papers are in order. Just like the guy with that funny-looking helmet and those lightning bolts on his collar.
You're looking at a dead actor and throwing them in my face and saying, you know, you've got to find this guy was a strong man and he was gay, even though we don't know that for a fact. And you're telling me that I have to find the agenda or else I'm anti-gay.
Wait a minute, I'm sitting him on your face. Now, see, that's you using a scurrilous anti-gay.
He didn't say sitting him on your face.
I didn't say sitting.
Whoa, my
You're
friend.
Kidding.
I heard you say you want to stick it in my face or something like that.
No, he did not. He said as in your face, like in your face.
Yeah, like in your, like unzip him and shove him in your face.
No, he didn't say that.
No innuendo at all. What are you
talking
about?
Because what you're doing is you're saying you're for gay rights and you're for equal rights. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Peter Falk. And by the way, here's a little queer joke for you. Wow.
No, he's not.
Come on.
No, he's not. I listened to what the man said. I think what we have here, Doug, and by the way, this has been a very spirited exchange between the two of you.
What's that supposed to mean? Like this guy's saying something? I'm a gay man and a gay activist. All right.
Oh, all of a sudden you're not a journalist.
Oh, and I
Peter Falk. Peter Falk is gay, all right? And Peter Falk is going to be gay until such time as America remembers what its obligation is to people, all people, and that's equal rights. And until we have equal rights, guess what? I'll put Peter Falk in a brassiere.
Wow.
And what's Kevin going to do?
Boy, I'll tell you. And you would hurt his family.
Oh, boy, Henry. You're really showing your true colors. So if I got Peter Falk in a pair of panties, a brassiere, and a flimsy burnous, you'd say what?
Unless that's not a Photoshop picture, if that's a real picture of his life and what he did, then you are definitely doing something wrong, in my opinion. You can't do that to people.
You guys
being gay is fine and dandy, but now you're taking a guy. I mean, I have gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties. Are you kidding me?
You got gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties in front of you.
Is that equal? I mean,
if I want to take Peter.
No, you're talking about...
Well, get a load of you now. See, all of a sudden... Men. Well, you're straight. You're straight, right? Do you let your wife work you with a...
All right, hold on. Kevin, I'll let you go, Kevin. I appreciate your call. Very, very good exchange, and I think you made some very good points. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. I had to dump that, Doug.
Oh, you had to dump that? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? The roads that I've come down...
I know, would make me throw up.
That's right. Make you throw up, it would have made Kevin break down and cry. Now, Peter Falk, I know Peter Falk was straight. I'm not saying that Peter Falk wasn't straight. But for the purposes of the gay community and fighting for the rights so that we are married and gay and all of that stuff, I don't personally give a damn because, as you know, Phil, on your program the other night, I said I was against gay marriage because I don't want straights to see that we're better at it than them and then they turn around and we got a civil war at our hands. But if gay people in this country are dead set on getting gay rights and getting a gay marriage, okay, fine. Here's my idea. Take Peter Falk, his image, his name, his movies, everything, and put him to work. Take one of the tough guy actors of all time and make him a sissy. If it will help gay rights.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You just don't care. It sounds to me like you don't care. It sounds to me like you are essentially what you're saying is take Peter Falk, even if it means using this guy in any which way, no matter who is hurt.
Boy, you just blah, 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 right? You know?
No, I'm getting to a point.
No, you're not. You started talking and that.
You know something, Doug? I got things to say, too, okay?
Well, then say it. Well, the thing in the head of the day, if I didn't know better, you're sitting there looking for a call.
I got calls. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lewis in Allentown, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Lewis? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know who this Doug is. I just happened to be going through the radio stations and came up with it.
I'm Doug Danger, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm just a normal gay man, and I just have an opinion. After I pass away, I don't want somebody calling me straight. It's not like it's an insult. It's just not who I was, and he wasn't. If you want an icon, pick a gay icon. There are plenty of actors that were. You want a rock solid icon? Pick Rock Hudson. But don't call somebody straight or not after they pass away.
Rock Hudson, no good.
That's the way it goes. That's the roll of the dice, Doug. You know, some do, some don't. I mean, it happens. Pick somebody else.
We got to use a guy that right now has got the zeitgeist. You know, we got to use a guy that right now has got the heat. Peter Falk's the guy. We make him gay for a few months.
But it is a lie. I mean, he wasn't gay. Why say that?
Let me ask you a question, okay? What's the difference, really, between a gay and a straight, other than sexual orientation? Nothing.
Probably about it, but that's a pretty big difference, I think.
Well, hold on. But you can't see that the way a man walks down the street. You can't see that in the eyes of a man. If I put Peter Falk out there and I go, see Peter Falk, Columbo, you know him? Yeah? Well, guess what? Gay. All right? Now people look at him and go, wow, Peter Falk was gay? Let's legalize gay marriage.
Are you kidding me? What makes you think it's going to be that easy?
Excuse me, I'm talking to another gay man.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because it isn't true. It just is.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Let me tell you, Doug, I want to tell you something. Really, I'm not into an exchange. This is a statement, okay? Let me speak. You are delusional, all right? You have already said you're a gay man, a gay journalist, about 15 times in the past four minutes, even with the other call. Good for you. Get over it. It's not only who you are. You know, sometimes I think you forget the other things you are because you're so obsessed with that.
I know what I am. I know that I am the son.
That's right, but not
of Jim. I know I'm the son of Jim and Ellen Danger. I know who I am. I know my family. But as a gay man and as a gay journalist and as a gay activist, all right, I'm gay. You know that. And you know that, right?
Are you kidding?
You know, sir, Mr. Henry, you know, peel a straight person deep enough, you find a homophobe every time.
And that's me, huh?
I disagree with that. I absolutely disagree with that. Absolutely disagree with that.
That's the
you
whole
know what,
show.
Doug? He's you better find yourself new friends, honestly, because you've been misled. You think you have to proclaim who you are by your sexuality only to get some kind of respect. And honestly, it's a dog and pony show. That's what it seems like to me. You're putting
on. When I'm out there in the straight world, and I got to muscle my way to get my piece of the trough, I got to tell them I'm gay. Now what do you think of me? And if they look at me cross-eyed, you know.
Yeah. I'm out there in the straight world every day, and I get my piece of the trough, and I don't have to proclaim that. I don't proclaim that to anybody. There's sometimes I want to say it, and sometimes I don't. But I don't have to say that to get what's coming to me. All I have to be is a human being. It's as simple as that.
Let me give you an example. I walked into a 7-Eleven the other day, okay? And I said to the kid, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want a pack of Marlboros. Now, what do you think he did? He gives me the eye roll, like I'm some kind of a weird ass. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm giving you the eye roll.
What is so funny, Mr. Straight?
Are you kidding me? You walked into a 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And you said, I'd like a pack of Marlboros. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to roll his eyeballs at you.
Yeah, well, guess what? He ain't going to be doing that much longer, because I grabbed him by the shirt and pinned him up against the cash register, and I said, I bet you think I'm a sissy. You want to test that thesis? He didn't want any part of it. Okay?
Well, you know what?
I'm fighting that fight.
Whoa, I have something to say in here, Doug. You're very insecure. You know, you're coming across as very insecure. What's
something,
the problem?
Phil? Lewis, you got a straight guy now, and you're ganging up on a fellow gay. On one of your fellow... gay, no.
Okay. I gotta, you know.
Oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Okay, I hope you guys, boy.
But, Doug, come on, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'd like a pack of Marlboros.
And the kid rolls his eyes at me? Mr. Homer.
I would have rolled my eyes at you, too. That's absolutely ridiculous to proclaim that in the store. I'll tell you what, they chatted about you after you left.
All right, listen, Lewis, thank you for your call. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I got to take a break. I apologize, Doug. I know he's going to be angry at me for just putting him on hold. We will be back as Doug Danger continues to insist that Peter Falk has passed on. What better person to use now as a symbol of the gay community? Peter Falk. He's now gay, had a lover. Doug has a whole, if you'll pardon the expression, backstory. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio. Boy, for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And Clarence Clemens.
Clarence Clemens. All right, on the line is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the vote for gay marriage in New York State tonight, which approved gay marriage in New York State. And there has been a celebration there in the gay community, as there has been across the country. And I have been a supporter of the equal rights of gay people for as long as the debate's been going on. So I can tell you that myself, I'm very happy. And I would hope, Doug, that you would take that in the spirit that it's intended and not look suspiciously at me like I'm some kind of a straight guy who's trying to, get in on the coattails of something else.
Well, I mean, the thing that bothers me, Fillmore, I know that you're a fair-minded man, but I just said to you that we can use Clarence Clemens as a homosexual. And
okay, I mean, how many guys do you need?
That's what you said to me off air. So, see, now you're really bothered by it because I'm using a black guy. It's not because he's black. It's because he's got a very visible image. He was a very strong, powerful image. Clarence Clemens and Peter Falk, two homosexuals that...
You can't... boy.
Yeah. There. See? See?
See what?
It bothers you that I'm using Clarence Clemens. Why is that?
Doug, it's the cumulative effect of you using Peter Falk, now Clarence Clemens. You could say, I'll tell you who else just died. James Arness. How about that?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. No one... James Arness is only known by old people. You wouldn't have used that. In fact, you would have used James Arness. You'd say, well, that's okay, because no one knows who he is.
Peter Falk, it was also known by an older generation of people. And yet, and still, I say, it is his image, his name. Now you want to pile on with Clarence Clemens in an effort to somehow give the gay community a visible face, a powerful image to follow behind. Here is Chris in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. I just wanted to...
Hi.
I wanted to ask your guests, why exactly do you think we need this new gay icon?
Well, I think we need to push this over the top. I think we've had the fight in California. It has scared a lot of people. I think this fight still could loom in New York State because who knows what they've got, planning. And I think not only do we need Peter Falk, we do need Clarence Clemens. What do you think of that?
I think it's ridiculous. No.
Clarence Clemens?
You're saying that after all the fight and after all the progress that the gay community has made, you're saying now what we need is a gay
Phil, yeah, we do. No, we need a gay Clarence Clemens. That's what we need.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Show 877-876. Phil, this is the News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass every night here in talk radio. Welcome. And tonight we are spotlighting our affiliates in Atlanta, WCFO 1160 AM, Allentown, Pennsylvania, WSAN 1470. And tonight we've got Dean Wheeler and Jack Armstrong that'll be plugging in and give us their points of view on a couple of stories, one having to do with the environment, and the other having to do with a story that I saw today on black Americans, African Americans, joining the Tea Party movement in ever-increasing numbers. We'll hear what Jack has to say about that. He is one of our liberal bloggers, as they say. I don't like that term, progressive blogger, left-wing blogger, Democrat blogger.
Jackass.
I didn't ask you, did I? And you're belching in the middle of your lines there.
Sorry.
877-876-PHIL, jackass. 877-876-PHIL. Our website, philhenryshow.com, for all of your radio and comedy needs. That is philhenryshow.com. Head on over there just as soon as you possibly can and check out our live streaming audio as well as our live streaming video. Our sixth video cast coming up on Saturdays. You know, we're now doing six video casts a week. You can see the show right now on video and hear it on audio on our website as well as listen to it on a number of our great affiliates. But on Saturday, where we have a one-hour video cast, we're going to be doing a tequila drinking demonstration. So join us for that. We have Dean Wheeler in Northern California right now on the environment and the announcement, Dean, by President Obama that there will be drilling, limited drilling, off the coast of Virginia, not off the coast of California, not in Alaska. In fact, I think some fields are being closed down. So this is really not, in my view, it's not that big of a deal for the drill baby drill or the drill now and drill it good, whatever they called it.
Are you asking me what the slogan was of the pro-oil movement?
I think it was drill now, drill hard. I forget what it was.
Well, whatever it was, I think they got a little bit of their money's worth with President Obama announcing that he would, in fact, open up drilling off the coast of Virginia. We were hoping. Is it drill baby drill?
No, it's not drill baby drill. It was drill now and drill plenty or something. I forget what it was.
Well, that's what my wife just passed me. I think that the pro-oil people, frankly, should be very happy because those of us in the progressive and pro-environmental movement are not happy. We wanted a moratorium that was kept in place on drilling that would continue and would be unabated, that we would get serious about alternative forms of energy, and that this would be a viable and realistic plan that the president would certainly continue, and he has not done that, Phil.
Now, you know, Dean, the president promised during the campaign that he'd look at drilling.
I understand that the president made overtures in that direction, but he never made it a firm and fast commitment. What he did say was that he was looking at clean energy, and that would be the number one priority. And perhaps he said that we have to look at oil as oil drilling as an alternative if we need to. There has been absolutely nothing at all, that would indicate that we would need to. The other very distressing news, I think, is that we have people in the state of California, such as yourself, Terry Richmond, Bud Blankenship, and some others, who are encouraging drilling off the coast of California. And in your case, have been repetitive in the notion that this is somehow pro-environmental.
Well, Dean, I never said it was pro-environmental.
Well, yes, you did, because you indicate that it is not going to be a hazard to wildlife.
Well, that's different from saying it's pro-environmental, isn't it?
I don't see the difference. You said
I did say that it is not it doesn't appear to be a hazard to wildlife.
You had mentioned, Phil, if I could, you had mentioned on a previous broadcast that you had been to Carpinteria Animal, to the Wildlife Refuge in Carpinteria, and you had seen harbor seals giving birth. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
That sends the message to the people of California, and it also sends a message to the pro-oil people. That gives, if you would, it gives aid and comfort to the pro-oil people that drilling for oil, at least in the mind of Phil Hendry, is not an environmental hazard. And that just sends the wrong message. We're a longtime Californian.
Dean, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm a longtime Californian. I was born and raised here. Okay.
All right. Then you recognize and you remember the oil spill off the coast of Santa Barbara.
I do remember that, and I do remember the environmental impact, and I do remember the people that were trying to clean up the ducks and the wildlife and the oil coated on all of the animals, and it was a terrible disaster. But when I say that I went to the beach there and I saw seals being born, I'm not lying.
You are on a national broadcast. You have a responsibility to your listeners, and you have a responsibility for longtime supporters such as myself, that when you get on the air and misrepresent what's going on, you harm the environmental movement of California, and you harm a great many years, Phil, of progress.
What am I misrepresenting exactly? What am I saying that isn't true?
You get on the air and you tell people that you went up and you saw seals being born, and you saw them being born near an oil derrick.
Well, no, I saw them being born at Carpinteria State Beach. And it was right next to the pier that the workers, the roughnecks, the guys that work the oil platforms, this is the pier where they offload their equipment, where they take their boats and they go out to the oil platform and they come home at night, and it's right near where these seals are calving, where these harbor seals are having their calves or their pups, okay?
And that sends the message to the pro-oil and to the big oil people that oil drilling is somehow not only is it safe around wildlife, but that somehow wildlife flourishes when there's oil drilling.
Well, what else do you call that?
I think it's very irresponsible, Phil.
What is irresponsible about that?
If you'll allow me to finish, I think it's very irresponsible to reverse decades of a pro-environmental movement that has raised an enormous amount of money, has gained an enormous amount of support, has international prestige, and for you to talk about going up and seeing seals being born...
I'm not lying.
I think it's a misrepresentation.
No, it's not a misrepresentation of anything. I'm not lying. Are you calling... You're not calling me a liar.
I think that what you're saying, and I'm trying to be kind, I think what you're saying is a little difficult. I wouldn't want people believing it.
Are you telling me it's difficult to believe, you don't want people to believe it, or it didn't happen?
I'm not saying anything of the sort.
Are you saying to me that it didn't happen?
I am saying to you that what you are trying to do is destroy a pro-environmental movement that is decades old.
Dean, I can't let you go on with this, okay? You're saying...
That is decades old and that has raised an enormous amount of money and has a great many people supporting it and has a great many people excited about the state of California and our clean energy. And you talk about seals being born near an oil platform, which gives this impression that the pro-environmental movement, doesn't know what it's talking about.
Well, does the pro-environmental movement really know what it's talking about when we have oil platforms up and down the coast of California with seals and whales and dolphins and all manner of marine mammal growing and flourishing and frolicking and giving birth to babies? Isn't it time that people know this?
Excuse me. You keep talking about this, and it hurts the...
I'm only speaking the truth, okay?
You're speaking the truth, okay. But
all right, well, that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, Phil, you can get your brownie points for speaking the truth, and people can pat you on the head for speaking the truth. What happens to the pro-environmental movement of this state when people begin to withdraw their support because a man on the radio, a right-winger, obviously a far-right ideologue,
Whoa, wait a minute, man. You're not going to get away with that, Dean, okay?
Well, then what do you call it, Phil?
But you're not going to get away with calling me a far-right ideologue because I happen to say I saw seals giving birth to puppies near an oil platform.
Well, what else do you call it, then?
I am telling my audience something that I saw. I'm telling my audience that it isn't the first time I've seen it. Since I've moved out to the ocean, I've seen it all the time. I see whales, I see seals, I see dolphins, I see sea lions, I see an enormous amount of marine mammal life as well as fish life. And there's oil drilling going on, and I see a coexistence between the two.
Can I just, by the way, tell you one thing that I did think of? The Marine Mammal Protection Act.
Yes, it's a fantastic act, and it has protected those animals.
Okay. Are you saying that oil drilling? What does oil drilling have to do with that?
Oil drilling doesn't have anything to do with it. Oil drilling has nothing to do with it.
All right. Well, then why would you say that oil drilling is... See, it's one thing to say that oil drilling is not having a negative effect.
And it's not.
I think it's unfair for you to say that in the face of an environmental movement. We've got an awful lot of money. And we have an awful lot of influence. And I can tell you, Phil, what you're doing is dangerous. And
I'm telling the truth, Dean. I'm telling the truth.
Did you mention the Marine Protection Act?
The Marine Protection Act, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, is a great act. It's a great law. It's saved and protected marine mammals, yes. But what I'm saying is that oil drilling has not hurt them.
And you know that how?
I don't know it for a fact.
Because you're not a scientist.
All I can tell you is I see seals out there giving birth to pups 20 feet away from a pier. So if you call that, lying...
I'm asking for a moratorium, and I'd ask your audience this. What is wrong with a three-month moratorium where you don't talk at all about what you think you see? And let's get more momentum behind stopping drilling from ever taking place off the coast of California again. And
a moratorium on what, Dean? A moratorium on what I've seen?
I'm asking for you to stop talking about all of the dolphins and whales. You're not a scientist, and I'm asking for a moratorium. And
well, I'm not a scientist, but I'm telling you this is what I saw.
Would you stop talking about it until we could get more... We're asking for support from people to stop drilling off the coast of California, to keep the moratorium going, despite you talking about seals giving birth.
Well, I think if we're going to make a decision on that, Dean, I think it has to be an informed decision, but I can ask my audience. Dean Wheeler joining us from the Northern California Holistic Center. He's a pro-environmentalist. He doesn't like me talking about the abundance of marine mammal life off the coast of California. because it's slowing down the no oil people in California. He wants me to stop talking about it for 3 months, a moratorium. Your calls next with Dean Wheeler, our number 877-876-PHIL. Jack Armstrong coming up next hour on Black American Tea Party voters and members. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
We are also joined this hour. Not only do we have Dean Wheeler, we also have on the line with us David G. Hall. He's a vice president of syndication who's joined us. And I'm not, David, you know, this is highly unusual. You're coming on the program, and we have Mr. Wheeler on to direct me editorially. You and I have had these discussions. I understand that you're not coming on in a hostile way.
Not at all, Phil. And I understand what you're up against. I understand what every talk show host is up against. Believe me, the Phil Henry Show represents candor and information. Mr. Wheeler is a valued member of our advertising base, and I would only ask you to give him a fair hearing.
I'm going to give him a fair hearing, but I am not going to give a three-month moratorium on not talking about these environmental issues.
And if I could ask you why, and I think your audience would be interested in knowing.
My audience, I think, is on. If you want my honest opinion, my audience understands what I'm saying.
I don't know how you could say that. That's my point as well, Mr. Hall. I don't see his audience is once they are. This is the California radio show. I know it broadcasts across America. The California listener is a pro-environmental listener.
I have to serve more listeners than a California listener. I'm serving all of my audience, and I'm not going to not talk about seals being born on a beach in California. I'm not going to not talk about that because it hurts, you know, me talking about it hurts the environmental movement.
But it also, Mr. Wheeler's Holistic Center is an advertiser. And I wanted to remind him of that as well.
Well, Mr. Wheeler, as a member of the progressive movement, are you saying that you would rather I forego truth and information in favor of money?
Well, Phil, you can be as sarcastic as you want. And I don't appreciate that. But the fact is, I do advertise, and I'm simply asking for a moratorium.
Well, I don't know how I can give a moratorium on talking about the birth of seals on the California coast for an environmental movement that seems to be frightened that the information's out there. And to me, that's what this is about. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, but I can ask my audience if they think that I should stop talking about the abundance of marine mammal life in the California, the Santa Barbara Channel, stop talking about that because that's going to hurt the environmental movement in California trying to get a moratorium on drilling permanent. And the president did not okay any drilling off the coast of California where we could use the jobs. He's got it in Virginia. Here is Jamie in Louisville. Let me go over to Jamie in Louisville. We got to go remote. Can I have Jamie in Louisville, Kentucky? Go ahead, Jamie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just wanted to make a comment to Dean.
I just think
that it's just the environmentalists are just going way too far with it. I mean, if it's not hurting the, you know, the seals and the dolphins and all that, you know, life out there, why can't we do it? And why can't we actually do more of it?
Mr. Henry has come on his program and repeatedly talked about the whales and the sea lions that he has seen in the Santa Barbara Channel.
Okay.
That is fine for Mr. Henry. Mm-hmm. When he talks about that, he hurts my movement, the environmental movement, because then people hear that and are not opposed to drilling as they used to be.
I highly doubt just because what Phil says is influencing anybody. I think everybody has their own mind.
Well, when
and
I
just
say to you
him commenting on what he's seen is not influencing anybody.
I want to say something here.
No, this is David. I would ask you just to please stay out of this while Dean talks to the listener.
Okay, fine.
Let me talk to the lady. Your name is Jamie?
Yes.
Jamie, we have oil drilling that goes on off the coast of California that is destroying the environment.
That's not true when you see the number of seals that are giving birth to seal pups.
Well, I asked you to shut up.
Are you telling me?
I asked you to shut up. No, the point is, Mr. Henry has seen seals being born. He's seen sea lions. When he says that, the environmental movement in the state of California is insulted. It's offended.
Why? Why would you be offended by him stating something that he's
yeah.
seen?
Why?
I don't understand.
I would ask you to shut up. Because the people who are pro-environmental may tend not to want to donate and be behind our movement. They're going to say, if there are seals being born, if there are whales that are swimming the channel, if there are dolphins swimming the channel, oil must not be harming them. That can't be. I'm telling you, it can't be.
Why can't that be?
Yeah, so
why can't that be?
Would you shut up?
Well, no, I'm asking, why can't that be? Why has oil got to be destructive?
Are you kidding me? Jamie has seen the pictures of oil-coating ducks.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And it's very sad. And it's very
yeah,
sad.
That's right.
But
that's
I believe that we rely too much on foreign oil. And that, you know, if we can get some more drilling, let's get it.
If you want to see a whale drowning in its own vomit, as the result.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, you know, I got to take a break. No, I've seen whales swimming out there. I've seen dolphins out there, and we drill oil out there. Jamie, thanks so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Mr. Wheeler and other pro-environmentalists want me to stop talking about the seals being born and the whales that are swimming because it hurts the pro-environmental movement, and there may be more drilling off the coast of California. Well, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't hurt. It's the Phil Hendry show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. With me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Healing Center. We have David G. Hall, who's also on the line, who's our Vice President of Syndication. And and we're having an interesting conversation, David, in that I know that Mr. Wheeler's an advertiser. He represents a pro-environmental view. That's fine, too. I've got nothing against that. But he doesn't want me talking about something that's of interest to my audience.
Well, I don't know that you know that that's of interest to your audience any more than what Mr. Wheeler has to say about his holistic center, or anything else. I'm not censoring you at all, Phil. You can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. I'm simply saying that Mr. Wheeler, I think, should be given a little bit more credit than what you're giving him.
I'm saying that while he says, and others like him, oil drilling is bad off the coast of California, it hurts the environment, I'm saying that I see marine mammals in abundance out there.
Saying that, and Mr. Hall, I would point out that every time he says that, it harms our message, which is that oil drilling is bad for the coast of California. And I think Mr. Henry hears that.
Well, it may harm your message, but I didn't know the truth is a bad thing.
Well, you know, Phil, if we can take it out of this way, you keep talking about the truth, and that's fine. Mr. Wheeler is talking about the oil business as being a bad thing, and he has a lot of people in his movement.
He may have a lot. All right. I can't keep going over the same ground.
Thank you very much. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're going over the same ground over and over, and you're harming a lot of good people.
I don't. All right. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL. Should I stop talking about the abundance of marine mammal life out in the Santa Barbara Channel because it hurts the pro-environmental movement? Here is Lynn on the Phil Hendry Show. Lynn, go ahead.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening to you.
Give me about 15 seconds, and then I'll hang up, and you guys can banter it around.
Okay.
I've read in many, I shouldn't say many, several reports published in newspapers and in magazines that the ocean floor burps more oil or leaches more oil than the oil rigs leak. And having lived in Florida for many years, if you go up to the 17th floor of any of the hotels on St. Pete Beach, you can see all kinds of ocean mammals swimming around, or actually rather close to the beach. So, and what's this part about inhibiting someone from speaking? There are not a lot of marine mammals off the coast of Florida, Phil.
So I don't know what the lady's talking about.
I don't know. I guess Lynn hung up, right? All right, do you want to comment?
Well, she hung up because she didn't want the truth to come out while she was still on the phone, and that is that there are no marine mammals off the coast of Florida. There's one, and that's the manatee. There's no sea lions. There are no seals. And it's probably because the state of Florida is so backward when it comes to the environment. It's so almost purposefully destructive when it comes to the environment. Florida doesn't have any oil drilling. Florida really has only one thing. It has environment. And the state of Florida and the corporations that are there, even though they have no real oil drilling in that state, they insist on destroying that state's beauty.
Dean, if you don't mind, there may not be an abundance of marine mammals. There's the manatee, but that's not because they don't care about the environment. There's all kinds of environmental movements up and down the coast.
The state of Florida's environmental concerns are dwarfed in comparison to what we're able to bring to bear here in the state of California. We've got money. We've got clout. When we want something, it gets done. In Florida, the environmental movement is puny. Nobody really listens to what they say, and they've got to make up things about having seals. They don't have seals there. They don't have them at all. Bill, Mr. Wheeler is saying they don't have seals. And
well, I'm not talking about Florida. I'm talking about California.
But he said there's no seals in Florida. And that's significant.
It might be significant from the standpoint of the lady that just called, okay?
Right.
But we're talking about California. She was talking about Florida.
But that woman lied. And the reason why I'm on here tonight is to alert you to the fact that there's a lot of people that care about the environment that aren't liars.
Why? You know, all right.
Don't just listen to me, will you?
I know Mr. Wheeler's an advertiser. You're just calling one of my listeners a liar. She didn't lie about anything. She says she understands that there's oil leaching up from the bottom and that they have lots of marine mammal life off the coast of Florida.
And they don't have marine mammal life off the coast of Florida except for manatees. That's all they have. They only got manatees. They don't have no seals.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over to Earl now. Earl in Menlo Park, California. Earl, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall and Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, Phil. It's just that I know from talking to a scientist in the past that off the University of Santa Barbara, UCSB, they've had oil coming ashore there since long before there's any drilling. It's been oozing up out of the ocean floor. So
the oil rigs are doing a good job. That's tar, and that also is a hazard.
It is tar. It's oil.
Yes, that's correct. It leaches, as the lady said. But that is a natural leaching that didn't hurt.
Well, if you reduce the pressure on the oil down there, there's going to be less leaching.
That's true, but you could also have a burst pipe or a tanker spill, and then you've got a world of hurt.
If you drive up and down the freeway, you have a world of hurt if you end up getting an accident.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Mr. Hendry has been irresponsibly talking about seals giving birth on beaches as if it's one big Disneyland out here.
Sir, I saw it with my own eyes, and I saw those seals giving birth right next to a pier where the roughnecks and the oil workers are going on and off the pier, going out to the platforms. They coexist. The oil industry and the marine mammal life here in California coexists in a very healthy way.
You are doing a big. You're doing such damage to so many very important people. I can't even begin to tell you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I can't even begin to tell you.
Phil, up in Alaska,
yes, sir. Go ahead.
Up in Alaska, they're worried about the pipeline.
You're doing a lot of damage, Mr. Henry. And the things that you do and say are going to get Robert Redford pissed off. And a lot of people that are...
I'm listening to my gentleman who called.
Yes, but we just mentioned...
And anyway, the thing is that
go
up
ahead,
in
sir.
Alaska,
yeah.
They were talking about how the caribou would die off, and they're breeding like mad at where those pipelines are.
Yeah. Well, I think that we have... All right, and again, living on the coast as I do, I see it with my own eyes.
Living on the coast, that's another thing that I think separates you from your audience. Most people don't get to live on the ocean, Mr. Henry, with the movie stars. Okay, well, this gentleman's laughing.
I don't live right on the ocean. I live in an oceanside community. Okay.
Yeah, but Mr. Henry, when you talk about "Oh, I Saw Seals," there are a lot of poor people who support the pro-environmental movement who think you're some wealthy oil man.
I'm not a wealthy oil man. All right, sir. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
What are you laughing at?
Mr. Wheeler's notion that somehow because I live near the ocean, I'm a wealthy oil man.
Well, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more relatable. I think people, when they hear me and hear the things that I talk about, they say, I know someone like Dean.
So they know a gentleman like you who talks about how you care about the environment, and when I tell you about something really cool about the environment...
What do you mean cool about the environment? What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
It means when seals are being born near an oil rig, or that sea lions relax on the oil rigs as they're going between the coast of California and the Channel Islands, or that whales are just moving up and down through the channel, man, like it's nobody's business, I would think you'd be happy about that.
I am happy if you would... I think he'd like you to shut up because you do more damage, Mr. Henry, than you know. Mr. Redford and so many...
Look, I have to go and take some phone calls. These allusions to Robert Redford leave me speechless, to be honest with you, gentlemen. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Casey in Abilene, Texas. Go ahead.
Okay, here's another guy that's from the ocean.
Casey,
no, not
ahead,
from the
sir.
Ocean. Just my only comment is...
Well,
how the oil companies
are
drilling for crude oil is so bad for the environment, but everything environmentally based, the vehicles we drive and everything is all based off of crude oil. So if we have to stop down drilling, that means we need to stop down everything.
Well,
there's so many precautions now.
We need green. We have to be green. There's no choice but to be green.
Well, you know, that sounds really good, let's be green, but what do you mean, let's be green? Okay, go ahead, give me a green car, man. Where are they at? Detroit can barely, those guys can't even make nose hair trimmers, man. They don't know what they're going to be making next week. They're so absolutely, you know, in the dumps in terms of their industry.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that Brazil's making all the green cars. You want to go down there and buy those? Right,
or
now,
like,
we're this gentleman is, go ahead, sir.
Are they
talking, Phil? I want to hear
green cars. How can an average day person
Redford,
who makes normal wages, be able to afford these multi-million-dollar cars that run off of water and everything else? There's no way.
Sir, it's not a multi-million-dollar car. Daryl Hannah, who's a very good friend of mine, drove a car that is powered on grease that she found, the grease from McDonald's, literally.
Daryl Hannah's got, yeah, she had a car that was running on what?
On McDonald's grease. Yeah, go over to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get their grease.
But what kind of car is that, man? That's got a special turbine or something, right?
Exactly, and that is all going to cost money.
Yeah.
Well, what we're saying is, while you sit there talking about how oil drilling is so marvelous, you are killing the environment.
I told you about the seals.
Would you please stop talking about seals, please?
There's so
Casey,
many
thanks so much.
Nowadays,
yeah.
Avoid.
Seriously, man.
Why are you talking about seals?
Why can't I talk about seals?
Why is he talking about seals? Why does he keep yakking about seals? Seals exist. We know this. But guess what? They don't have seals in Florida. And do you know why? Do you know why they don't have seals in Florida? Because they've destroyed everything in Florida.
No, they don't have seals in Florida. No, they don't have seals in Florida because seals are not indigenous to that part of the world. They don't live there. They live in other places. They live in the coast of California. They live in... the gentleman still there?
Yeah, I thought he'd hung up.
Go ahead, Casey. Then we're going to take a break. No, go ahead, sir.
Okay, Abilene. What's the closest ocean? What's the closest... I want to know, sir. This is David Hall. What's the closest ocean to Abilene, Texas?
Matt,
come on.
There's oceans all around Texas, the Gulf of Mexico and everything, where most of the drilling for oil is done.
But you got to drive hundreds of thousands of miles to get there.
Forget about whether this guy lives near the ocean.
Oh, well, you're right around the corner. 300 miles? We're talking about something that is affecting the coast right near where Henry lives. And Mr. Henry would rather see a seal being born than breathe air that will not give him another bout of swine flu pneumonia.
Sir, do you drive a car that has gasoline power?
Do I have a car that has a clean pilot? What?
Okay, but does it have motor oil in it?
I don't know. I don't do that.
Look, Casey, thank you for your call, sir. We got to take a break, though. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. The gentleman was asking, does your car have motor oil?
I don't do that.
Well, do you know what motor oil is?
I don't know. I don't do that. This is what the guy... What do you think I pay a red carpet... I paid for the red carpet service plan. Yeah, about the red carpet service plan?
What about it?
Well, it's standard with Mercedes.
Oh, well, if it's standard with Mercedes...
You got a Jaguar...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Dean Wheeler and David G. Hall as we talk about the environment. Should I talk about the fact that there are seals being born on the beach while we have oil drilling going on just a mile away? Is that hurting the environmental movement, me talking about that? Is the truth hurting the environmental movement? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you mean, motor oil?
Motor oil, man.
What about the red carpet plan?
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall has also joined us. I'm talking with Dean Wheeler, who's also on the line. We're talking about the environmental impact of oil drilling off the coast of California.
And Phil, if I could, and Dean, I know you wanted to speak to this. The oil drilling's going on in Virginia. Well, Phil, that is true. The oil drilling is in Virginia. And so there's damage being done on two fronts. By you talking about seals and sea lions and this kind of nonsense taking place,
Well, it's not nonsense. These are real. This is wildlife.
All right, but this is a moot point. What's happening is the oil drilling is off the coast of Virginia. It's not happening off the coast of California. And by you talking about it, Phil, saying that sea lions are not impacted, the marine mammals are not impacted, you're going to give somebody the bright idea of drilling out here. And that is wrong. Now, I heard you...
I don't know why that's wrong. If I say, and I'll say it again, that the marine mammal life out here is healthier than it's ever been, and that we have the sea life is healthier than it's ever been, and we've got oil drilling everywhere, I don't know why people can't hear that.
I heard you talking to Rance about Danny Tarkanian running for governor or senator of Nevada, and you were mentioning Jerry Tarkanian. And I thought that was a fascinating conversation you had, that George Allen Jr., the son of a coach, became a governor. And now you have Danny Tarkanian, the son of a coach, and he's looking to be a senator. I think that is interesting. And I would want to see you do more of that, more discussion of that.
Well, I'm not going to do that, David, because we're on a different topic.
See, we're trying to get you, Phil. I don't like it when you're saying no to something.
I'm talking about the environmental impact of oil drilling in California, which lately hasn't been bad at all. Here is Jolie in Akron, Ohio. Jolie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler and David Hall. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Even though I'm in Ohio, I used to live in L.A., so I know some of the problems that you guys are going through.
Interesting. You don't have any ocean out there, do you?
Pardon me?
You don't have any ocean out there, though, do you?
No, but we do have Lake Erie. We don't even want to go into that.
You hear that?
I do hear that.
All right. Yeah, you know what? Could we stop doing that, please?
That is the sound of a sea lion.
Yeah, and if you come out to California, Jolie, you'll hear tons of that, and right around where they drill for oil.
That is very irresponsible of you, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, go ahead, Jolie. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I told your caller, I said, it's amazing that you're actually continuing with this whole line and wasting your time. Because the problem is...
I find it very childish that you're doing that.
I played it because I want the lady and everybody to hear what a sea lion sounds like.
Yeah, can you stop doing it while the man's talking?
Go ahead, Jolie. And Jolie's a woman, not a man.
I meant the Mr. Wheeler.
So, but my thing is that the truth should be told. And Phil is telling the truth. And unfortunately, the environmental people don't always want to hear the truth. Because like this gentleman is saying, is it hurts his cause. But I don't see how it can hurt your cause to have all sides of the story presented.
How many years do you think, Jolie, Mr. Henry's been talking about the environment? Let's try just 0 years. How many years have I talked about the environment? Let's talk about 25 years. And you're saying that I'm going to turn around and take one between the shoulder blades from Mr. Henry, who has talked about it for no years, and I've talked about it for 20 years? He's got more invested in the environmental movement, ma'am.
Yeah, but what difference does it make if what I'm saying is true, you know?
Exactly.
Well,
the
truth. You know something? I want to do something. Do you hear the sound of this? Do you hear this? I'm an environmentalist, but I hope they all die. Because you have asked for that, Mr. Henry. You and Jolie, even though she... People like you, you want those sea lions to die.
Why do I want them... Well, I don't understand. Why do I want them to die?
Because you are asking for oil drilling that will kill them.
They're... They're out there right now in the channel. Thank you, Jolie, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Out there in the channel right now, resting and sleeping on the oil rigs. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, let's say that both sides of the argument have some truth to it. One being that oil is hurting the wildlife and they are moving on and they're surviving. Let's say both sides is true. I would still donate. After hearing someone ask you to quit, talking about how they're surviving or asking the science half of the argument, I would quit donating on that because that is hiding truth and that is no reason, no cause.
No, you don't understand. I'm asking Mr. Henry to stop talking about it so you'll donate to our environmental movement. And you're saying you'd stop?
I would stop because you asked him to quit talking about it so you can get money. It's basically what you said. I heard you say.
Do you understand how he's manipulating? Listen to what he's doing. He's playing the sound of the sea lion.
Is that not what you said?
That is very unfair, sir. Very unfair.
What's unfair about that? This gentleman wants to hear the exchange of information and truth. You don't want it. He's going to stop donating.
And you're playing the sounds of sea lions because you want children also to believe.
I
hate you so much.
You asked the truth to be
I hate all of you.
You killed him, sir.
And I hate all of you.
Phil Henry.
Oh, I hate that sound.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
All I said was this, and I'm responding to what constituents write me about. And they're
okay. They've had so much trouble because they've been getting like these.
For some time, I've had a growing conviction that Congress is not operating as it should.
I'm looking at the desk and finally some man bombs.
A little bit loose,
and that's just the way it is.
Famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I tell you what, this is a show where truth is our bitch, a Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass and grass, yo ass. Look at the news and at the issues, and maybe at the way you see news and issues. And welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhenryshow.com. And you can visit us over there, and you can watch the show right now. Right this very moment, you can watch us performing the show, as well as listen to the live streaming audio, as well as find an affiliate list there of all of the affiliates that we have across the country. And do it now, man. So it's philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Coming up tonight, in fact, this hour, we're going to have with us Mr. Roland Schwind. He is with an organization called Americans Plus, which is a group of Americans who are plus-size, heavy set, overweight, if you will, Americans,
paying a great deal of attention with much curiosity to a story of Kevin Smith, the film director. He, the director of Mallrats, Clerks, Chasing Amy. Kevin Smith was told by Southwest Airlines that he's too fat to fly. And so we're going to be looking into that story this hour. Also coming up tonight, a doctor has sex with his patient and bills her health insurance for it. I'm not kidding. And Family Guy mocks Sarah Palin's mentally disabled kid. I'm not kidding. But then you probably know that I'm not kidding. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. In a moment, we will have with us Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. But first off, film director Kevin Smith says on his Twitter page that he's been kicked off of an airline because he was too fat to fly. Now, he's probably gained a little bit of weight. I was actually sitting behind Kevin Smith on a flight going to Aspen, Colorado about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was a normal-sized guy. He was sitting there, he had his daughter with him or one of his children with him, and he didn't seem too large. But I guess he's gotten bigger as the years have gone by. The incident occurred after he boarded a Southwest Airlines flight to Burbank from Oakland, California. Smith was seated but was eventually tossed from the flight. The director and actor says the pilot ejected him from a Southwest Airlines flight because saying he didn't fit properly in a single seat. But Smith believes it's because the pilot didn't like one of his movies. Smith raised a stink about the incident on his Twitter page saying, "I'm way fat, but I'm not there just yet, and if you look like me, you may be ejected from Southwest Airlines." Southwest says its customer of size policy requires travelers must be able to fit safely and comfortably in one seat or make other arrangements. After a storm of angry online comments from Smith and his fans, the airline issued an apology first from its own Twitter account and later in a statement on its website titled "Not So Silent Bob," a jovial jab at the Silent Bob character Smith plays in many of his films. Said the statement from Southwest Airlines, "We'd like to echo our tweets and again offer our heartfelt apologies to you." The airline said it also accommodated Smith on a later flight, gave him a $100 voucher, and apologized. "You guys screwed up, Southwest. Why is it so hard to own up to that? Now I'm going to carry this too fat to fly crap around like herpes for the rest of my life, and it was never even true." And that's why, see, he said it was probably because the pilot didn't like his movie. Here is Kevin Smith on his podcast.
"I did not for a single second think what was coming because it was beyond my comprehension. You know what I'm saying? Again, I know I'm fat, but I'm not that fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's fat and there's fat. There are people who are fat like me, but double wide like me.
But we also fly all the time. We fly almost
there on one
weekly
seat." So Suzanne leans down and goes, "Mr. Smith, we kind of have a problem." I said, "What is it?" And she goes, "The captain says that you can't sit here." That's when it starts dawning on me.
Oh, my.
And I go, "Oh, why?" And she goes, "Well, no, it's a safety issue, a security measure." And I said, "What? Wait, safety, security? What are you talking about?" So I'm like, "But ma'am, I'm fine. I'm sitting down." She's like, "Well, it's just, if you can't lower the armrests, then we can't let you," you know. What she wanted to say was, "You're too fat, you have to buy two seats, but this plane's too full, so you can't buy two seats, so you're going to have to go."
All right, let's get Roland Schwinn on here. That was the podcast there with Kevin Smith today. I don't know who the woman was. Do you know Mr. Schwinn?
Yeah, so I believe that was his wife, but I can't be sure. And again, we are neutral. You know, we're not in this fight because we're necessarily Kevin Smith fans. We're in this fight because Americans Plus is an organization that represents a fair number of Americans. Our organization is growing in terms of membership every day, and we're asking that heavyset people, heavy, overweight, even morbidly obese people, be treated as human beings like everyone else.
Do you think that Kevin Smith was treated unfairly?
We think the policy is unfair. If the policy is that Mr. Smith needed to buy two seats because of his size, the policy is in place simply because Southwest Airlines is not getting a maximum bang for its dollar. If Mr. Smith is too big for these seats, Southwest Airlines can do one of a great many things. They can re-engineer the seating arrangement or reconfigure the seating arrangement in their aircraft. Southwest Airlines, you know, can allow Mr. Smith to sit in two seats if he so chooses. But the answer is not, in our opinion, the answer is not in making him buy another ticket, because that's simply a financial advantage and gain the Southwest wants to take advantage of. It's nothing to do with safety. And so we would have to say in this particular instance that we agree with Mr. Smith. We don't think that he should have had to purchase another ticket. We agree with his standing his ground on this. And I think that more and more people who are of plus size, people with extra girth, they're seeing the light on this and they're refusing this and standing their ground, you know.
It was one of these things where fat people, if you'll pardon the expression.
We don't have a problem with the word fat, Bill. We don't have a problem with the term obese. What we do have a problem with is the treatment that we receive, the unequal, inequitable treatment we see from public accommodations all the way, from airlines all the way down to hotels.
All right. Do you think that this has gone on because overweight people, fat people, are a little sheepish about protesting? If somebody says to you, and you're fat, you got to buy two seats, pal, because you're too big, they go ahead and they pay the money.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They go ahead, they don't want to cause a problem.
Absolutely. There's no question that we have been, as a people, we have been so browbeat and so pushed around, really, by society that we go ahead and we do whatever anybody tells us to do. But we're growing in our awareness. We recognize that if we have to pay more for an extra seat, there are people that also should be paying an extra fee for the discomfort and for the safety, possible the compromising of safety that they bring on an airplane.
Such as?
Well, such as parents that bring children on board. Children, there is no real reason why children should fly. There is necessity, obviously, for adults to fly because of business or medical emergencies or what have you. There's no real necessity for a child to fly. When parents bring a child on board, they bring that child onto an aircraft at the possible discomfort or disadvantage of the passengers. We all know the noise that children can make. We know that, that because of their youth, it can be a very uncomfortable flight with children. Do these parents pay extra? No, they don't. Do they pay extra because this could possibly compromise the safety of the aircraft? No, they don't. We also know that people who sit by a window, who prefer the window seat, and yet are constantly getting up and falling over the passengers to get to the center aisle so that they can go to the lavatory, this compromises the safety and possibly the comfort, certainly, and possibly the safety of people that are flying. Do those people have to pay extra? No, they don't. So you can see by those two examples I've given you, I think it's pretty clear, and I think we've made our case ironclad, that there is no reason why a Kevin Smith or any other plus-size American, overweight American, obese American should pay for another seat so long as other people are allowed to compromise the comfort and the safety of the aircraft.
Do you really think that people who bring children on board are compromising the safety of the aircraft?
I think that it's possible. I certainly know that they're compromising the comfort of the people around them. And see, this is a fee. This is a fee that's being charged to overweight people. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that there is some problem in terms of the safety of the seat. It's a fee. You are a large person, and even if you could sit in that seat, we're charging you a fee. We believe that the fee should be also applied to others, and then we certainly can see our way clear to paying it. Barring that, there is no reason for overweight people to pay for an extra seat or to be humiliated that way so long as people are bringing their children on board. And I think that's the issue we want to go for. People sitting at the window, we recognize, is very important, but we don't think it's, if I can use the word, it's not as sexy as going after people with kids. If we can go after people with kids and tell them that their children don't belong on an airplane, we'll get a little more attention for ourselves.
Okay, I'm going to go to a break, but that last thing you just said to me, you said that was very unusually candid. You're strategizing.
Oh, no, I'm not strategizing. It occurred to me as I was speaking to you that it's far more effective for us to say to parents, don't bring your kid because your kid makes me uncomfortable, and you know you don't have to fly with your kid, so don't tell me that I have to buy another seat. So if I have to buy another seat, they pay a fee for bringing the kid. And, to be honest with you, it just did now occur to me.
All right, we're talking with Mr. Roland Schwinn. He's with a group called Americans Plus. And the Kevin Smith story, an interesting story from this past week. And Mr. Smith, the film director who bought or was forced to buy an extra seat or was going to buy an extra seat, I guess he didn't, because of his weight, because of his girth by Southwest Airlines. Mr. Schwinn is with Americans Plus. He doesn't think anybody who's overweight should have to pay for an extra seat. He says that it's a punitive fee just because of their size, has nothing to do with anything. And if they have to pay for an extra seat, then people who bring children on board should also pay extra because children can sacrifice comfort. Obviously, they can compromise the comfort and safety of the aircraft. So should customers with kids get hit with fees to fly instead of or in addition to the overweight? 877-876-PHIL. More with Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. We come back. 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah! Joining me here, Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus, an organization, Mr. Schwinn, that I guess is an organization of heavy people, right?
Well, we say that we're an organization of the heavy set, obese, morbidly obese people. We don't exclude anyone. There's no real requirement for membership other than the fact that you are an individual with a size issue when it comes to weight and What we have told people who are part of our organization in our newsletter, in our seminars, really the problem is not yours. The problem is the world around us accommodates everybody else except those of us who enjoy carrying extra weight. And a person who sits next to us on an aircraft complaining about our size, they don't understand that heavy-set people probably are better in terms of personal hygiene than most other people. And that we will pay for an extra seat when people start paying for their kids extra a fee for bringing them on board.
Now, you're talking about they pay for the seat of the child, but you want a fee charged to parents who bring their kids.
Exactly, because that's what they're doing to us because of our size. This isn't about buying another seat. This is about penalizing us because we're big. They can easily reconfigure their aircraft. They can have fewer seats. There's a lot of things they could do. But they want to penalize the people who are heavy. At the same time, they get a little bit extra money. Well, here's another way they can make money. Start to charge these parents money, extra money, a fee, when they bring their children on board because there's no reason to have the children on board. There's no reason at all to bring children on aircraft. They don't need to fly. They are not in business. They're not, unless it's a medical emergency. It is a nuisance and again, unnecessary.
All right, Roland Schwinn with us. I want to play one more clip here from Kevin Smith and then go to some phone calls. This is Mr. Smith on his podcast. After finally leaving the flight, Mr. Smith says he gets doublespeak from Suzanne, is who he calls her, Suzanne of Southwest Airlines.
I'm looking at the desk, and finally, Suzanne bombs up, and I'm like looking at her badge and immediately writing her name
down. Of course.
And I was just like, and
you
she
know,
was
I,
like,
I,
boy,
I,
I'm sorry.
I gotta stop it. I can't stand it.
What is the problem?
I can't take some jackass. He's a film director. He's doing his little podcast. Who's the woman?
Like I said, I think that's his wife.
I get the picture, Mr. Smith, you know. 877-876-PHIL.
Well,
why would you not listen to what Kevin Smith has to say?
Because he's dull. Because he's... Is it his wife? Okay. He's just dull. That's all. I got the idea. He didn't like the fact that they charged him. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, that's an example, I think, of the prejudice. That you don't want to listen to Kevin Smith because why? You say he's dull or he's overweight?
That's got nothing to do with his weight. I just don't want to listen to 3 minutes of this guy. I already get the picture of what the hell is wrong with him. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Derek in La Mirada, California. Derek, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I'm a parent, and, this guy's analogy about saying that, kids should be overcharged and there's no reason for kids to be charging, and he's forgetting one thing. Families travel and go on vacation. So your analogy is really poor. You're telling me that I have to leave my kids home for me to travel?
Not at all. But when you travel... for vacation, would you call that a necessary trip? Of course it isn't a necessary trip. You could easily drive a car or take an SUV, one of the, if you've ever seen these big Winnebagos. But that's not a necessary trip to put a child in an aircraft when you could easily for a vacation, which is not a, medical emergency.
It's not delivering a necessary trip when you go on vacation and you travel with your family. So you're getting,
well, you don't have to take a
million dollars every year. If you're telling me I'm going to be charged extra for my two kids to travel. I got a 2-year-old.
Yes, sir.
And every time my 2-year-old has an accident in diaper, well, guess what? I got to get up and got to go to the porta potty over there and fly and have to change their diaper. So to not inconvenience people. A lot of people are being charged extra because they're invading my space. They're in.
Your child invades my space with her screaming and yelling and her screaming and her yelling, it bothers a lot of people. A small child, of course. And you're talking about changing a diaper. Obviously, there's the discomfort of whatever odor may come with that. There's no need to take an infant child on a vacation. What kind of vacation do you take an infant child on that she's going to remember it?
You have to get up to go to the restroom. Do you have to get up from your seat at any time?
I don't scream and yell, and I don't defecate in my pants like a child would. I get up and go to the bathroom quietly.
Well, that's the same thing. So you tell me a two-year-old child doesn't do that. Exactly.
So why have them on an aircraft? And not to mention the discomfort from the pressure.
Why would the airline industry charge me extra for children to fly?
Because you're causing discomfort. You're causing discomfort to the passengers around you by having to listen to your kids and looking at you changing a diaper. I don't think it's what I call comfortable flying.
Yeah.
That's all.
But these people, they're in two seats, not in their seat. My child is controlled into my own seat.
She's not controlled. That's my point. She's not controlled. That's my point. She's yelling and screaming and defecating in a diaper so I can smell it.
Every child.
No, just yours.
Okay. Well, we don't know if that's the case. We'll be back. We'll be the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yep, every good street.
We're with Mr. Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. Mr. Schwinn, here's one final comment from Kevin Smith, who was removed from a Southwest Airlines flight this week. And Mr. Smith is a film director, a man of some note. That's why we're speaking of him. He's directed such films as Clerks, Small Rats, Dogma. And Mr. Smith was removed because they said he was too large, he was too fat, and he needed to either pay for an extra seat or get his, fat rear end off the flight.
Here he is saying that someone from Southwest Airlines should be fired.
Oh. Someone's got to go, man. I'm serious. Like, and I'm sorry. I'm not one of these people. It's like, I know it's a hard economy, and people are like, how could you wish somebody's job away? You know?
Okay, there. So we don't, you know, need to hear any more, but that's him. He wants to see someone fired.
Well, again, you're reluctant to play the balance of Mr. Smith's comments. I don't understand why you don't want to do that. Because
I find him to be dull. I get the story. He's a great film director. He's not his podcast suck. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that here's a man who has decided that he's going to take on Southwest Airlines, and you agree with him. You agree with his stance. And you agree that that overweight people should not pay extra?
No, we can pay extra, Mr. Henry, if there is going to be a consistency here. This is a civil rights issue. There are, you know, black people, the disabled. There has been this issue with the retarded, with the Sarah Palin, and homosexuals, and the heavy set are all people. The overweight are all people who cannot. I can't choose my life. And yet they charge more for me, even though I can't change who I am. And yet they don't charge someone who brings a child on board, an infant that is going to scream during the first 8 minutes of flight, is going to scream every time it needs its diaper changed or needs to have something wiped or some food, and it's screaming and making my life very uncomfortable there.
Now hold on, before we go to another call, overweight people can't change. You can't help being overweight.
No, I cannot, any more than a black person can...
You can't lose weight. Black people can't change their color. Homosexuals can't change their orientation. A disabled person is disabled. You can't change your weight?
Mr. Henry, and we've debated this many, many times in a lot of different forms, far more challenging than this one. I don't mean any offense by that. And let me tell you what I'm saying. The fact is, I cannot lose weight. This is who I am.
You could very well lose weight.
No, I could not lose weight in any way that would assure my existence. I would lose weight. I would become depressed. There's a good chance of suicide, to be quite honest with you. So if I'm essentially a dead man at any other weight, then this is the weight I need to be.
You are a dead man because you say you would commit suicide because you're not comfortable at any other weight. But all of that is through choice.
No, it is not through choice. It's not any more of a choice for me to lose weight and become suicidal and take my own life than it is for you to take, if you'll forgive me, Mr. Henry, for you to take a saw and castrate yourself and then say, but I can choose to live. No, you can't.
Well, what are you talking about, man? What kind of bizarre thing? What does that mean?
It means that if you castrated yourself, wouldn't you commit suicide?
I don't want to answer that question. I think it's a very bizarre and very strange comparison that you just made, and I don't want to go there, all right? 877, a guy takes a saw and castrates himself.
And then decides that he's going to live? I don't think so.
All right, 877... That is a very irrelevant and bizarre comparison, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on a Phil Henry Shows. We're talking about Kevin Smith and overweight people on airplanes and airliners. And Mr. Schwinn with us here is talking about the fact that, if you're going to charge overweight people more money, charge parents more money for bringing their kids on board. Here is John, and you're on the Phil Henry Show. John, with Mr. Schwinn. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I think you took a lot of the wind out of my sails, but I think this guy is pretty ridiculous. I mean, as far as I know, babies can't help, you know, going in their diaper and crying. This guy can help being overweight, and I think it's just a matter of physics and dollars. It costs a certain amount to fly a pound of whatever you're flying over the air, and why should I have to pay extra?
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
that's an artificial number that the airline has come up with.
No, fuel costs so much, and it costs so much to pay the pilot. It costs.
And you know what else? You know what else? The baby doesn't have to fly. Why are they bringing a baby?
Because I live in Boston. If I want to take my kid to Disney World, I have to drive because you're uncomfortable?
No. I didn't say kid. I said baby, an infant baby that won't even remember. They don't even remember you, let alone Disney World.
No, but I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and so I have to leave the 1-year-old at home, or I can't take him.
Well, a 1-year-old. What's a 1-year-old?
Because you're uncomfortable.
No. Wait a minute. If I make you uncomfortable and your kid makes me uncomfortable to the point where the plane's safety is jeopardized, that's what I'm saying.
No, stop. I did not say that you made me uncomfortable. I never said that you made me uncomfortable. But the point is, you should have to pay extra for a seat because that plane uses so much fuel to fly. They have to pay the crew so much. And why should they cut the seats in half because of a few people? You said they can widen the seats. If they widen the seats, they have to eliminate some seats. And now the cost is divided up by a smaller number, which is going to increase my ticket. Why should I have to pay that? Because y'all
are... You understand? Why are they charging me for another seat is all I'm asking.
Because you're too big to fit in one. Because you're too big.
So if I'm too big to fit in one, then let me fit in two.
But that's what the man's saying.
Yes,
if you're now taking up...
You have to buy two.
Why? No, I bought one already, but they're making me fit in two. I don't want to fit in two.
Here's why, because if I want to send a package to California and the package weighs 5 pounds, and if I have another one that weighs 10 pounds, I have to pay more to send the one that weighs 10 pounds. That's exactly how it is.
Now, see, Mr. Henry, this is very racist to this man because he's saying I'm freight now. I'm not a person. I'm freight.
No, we are all freight. We're human freight. I find that very racist.
Wait. How's that racist?
He's calling me.
I'm not racist.
Look, baby, are you telling me that they're weighing your kid and charging you a seat for your kid by virtue of the child's weight? No, I don't think so.
I do not know that.
Well, you said it's weight. You said it's all about weight. The other thing is that, you're not making any sense. You say that I'm free. I'm not making any sense. You didn't answer my question about the fat people. No, I'm not. No, I'm trying to defend fat people from being harassed as we have been for many decades. People tell us we got to buy an extra seat. People tell us.
Well, then lose weight.
Then don't bring your baby on the airplane.
No, because most people don't mind babies on the airplanes. Everybody was a baby at one point.
You know what? If I were you, I would take an informal poll because I think you're wrong there. Every time we hear a kid screaming and yelling. And another thing, pilots don't like it because the most critical time is the eight minutes from takeoff until they reach their flying altitude. And during that time, you've got children crying because of the air pressure in their ears. It's very nerve-wracking for a pilot. It's nerve-wracking for a pilot to listen to a kid screaming bloody murder
in the cab with the door
while he's... It pierces through. It pierces through. The noise pierces through.
Well, this is all very speculative. This is all very speculative, Mr. Schwinn. You don't know that.
You don't know what you're talking about. I said to you, you think that people think babies on airplanes are fantastic? I don't think so.
No, I didn't say they were fantastic. People put up with babies crying. That's a part of life. Being fat is not a necessary part of life.
So you can put up with my fat ass. You know.
All right, let's watch the language.
I will put up with you. I'm not insulting you.
What we're trying to do is so that you don't treat fat people the way Nazis treated Jews. That's all we're asking. I don't see what you mean.
Are you kidding me? What are you making the analogy between Nazis and Jews?
That's the way these people want to treat fat people, like we're Jews, and this guy and this guy's baby's a Nazi or something.
No, I'm not saying that. I think that the airline has the right to charge you extra because you are human.
Absolutely.
Right,
thank you.
Just like
thank you, sir. 877-876. Phil, let's go over to Art. Art, go ahead.
Phil, I'm enjoying your program. See, I'm a former airline pilot. I flew for 25 years, not only commercially, but also flew charters. And I wanted to mention one thing, and I think your caller or your guest already reiterated that the initial climb out of any airport or any field to the cruising altitude is a very critical time. And when you hear children crying, and you hear them through the cockpit door. You can hear it piercing through the door, as this gentleman said.
That was what I was trying to tell you, Phil.
All right.
It does tend to distract us, and your hands get a little sweaty because what's happening is the 8.5 minutes on the climb out is the most critical time. When you hear a baby screaming while you're holding onto the yoke of an aircraft and trying to get that aircraft to its cruising altitude, and a baby is screaming, the almost the mental state it puts you in
is a state of I've already lost control of the plane, because that sounds like the scream of someone that's going to die. And so you sweat, and now you're praying that you don't fly into a mountain, and you may not be near any.
Are you telling me that the crying of a baby makes you feel like you're out of control?
It does. You do feel out of control, because suddenly there's a screaming baby. Your mouth gets dry. Your head begins to swirl a little bit. I don't know if you've ever seen those television programs where the camera goes in a circle. That's when your mouth gets dry and everything's going in a circle. And all you can think of are the words that Jimmy Stewart said in the Spirit of St. Louis, which the immortal, oh, God help me.
And what is that again?
Well, you're trying to think of a prayer, and the only one that comes to your mind is, oh, God help me.
And, oh, God help me what?
Are you listening to me yet?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. You're telling me a baby is crying, your mouth gets dry, things start to spin.
Things start to spin, and I go, oh, God help me. See, Mr. Henry,
thank you very much for your call, sir.
Oh, yeah, okay, well.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Roland.
Mr. Henry, I don't know what that gentleman was saying, but the fact is that it is true. You're going to have an awful lot of people, an awful lot of pilots are going to be disquieted by that, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 877-876-Phil. Let's go to another phone call here. In Pensacola, Florida, we have Melissa. Melissa, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Roland Schwinn. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I think the gentleman that you're speaking to is an idiot. I think he just likes to hear himself talk right now. He's comparing the fact that he can't lose weight to somebody who... I'm sorry?
You don't understand what it's like to be the victim of civil rights abuses like this.
Okay, this is not civil rights. You're fat and you're upset because you're fat, and you're telling me that if you lose weight that you're going to die because you're not fat anymore. Is your fatness who you are? These companies These companies are in business to make money. If I have 100 seats and you fit in 2 seats, you're going to pay for 2 seats. Otherwise, somebody who was not as large would pay me for 2 seats. It's not our fault that you choose to eat every cheeseburger that you buy. Put the cheeseburger down, grab a salad,
I think that you're being very,
around, instead of getting on the escalator, maybe take some stairs.
You're being very racist.
Can you please look
it's
in
totally
the dictionary?
It's not really racist, Mr. Schwinn, yeah.
Well, you're fat, and you're upset because you have to pay for more than one seat. Like I said,
this is the way the Nazis treated the Jews.
I will not accept that kind of comparison, sir, on this program. I think it's...
The Jews were put into concentration camps.
You know what, sir? Maybe you ought to go to a concentration camp and lose a few pounds.
Imagine how much richer you would be if you stopped eating cheeseburgers and fit one seat in an airplane.
I'm calling B'nai B'rith. I'm calling the Anti-Defamation League.
You're going to be a fat guy calling the Anti-Defamation League and saying what? I'm Jewish?
No, I'm not Jewish.
Then you're going to call the ADL and say what? I'm a fat guy and someone said that if I was in a concentration camp, I'd lose some weight?
Yes.
Go ahead, man. Melissa,
you're not making any sense at all.
I'm making plenty of sense. First of all, as
you're
a fat
not making
man,
any sense
if
because
I lose weight,
then I know that your blood pressure and your cholesterol are an issue. So maybe the airline is doing you a favor by telling you have to pay more, which could be motivation for you to lose some weight. So you would be so much richer if you put the cheeseburgers down and be able to sit in 1 seat. Imagine how much money you could save. Imagine that. And then you could stop talking about civil rights and keep talking about how rich you are.
First of all, young lady, the only thing that's affecting my blood pressure right now is the fact that you won't allow me to say what I want to say.
If you want to go to a concentration camp, that you have one leg, you cannot compare yourself to somebody who cannot grow another leg. Somebody who has their leg amputated and is disabled cannot grow another leg. You can lose weight. You may not be able to lose a tremendous amount of weight, but you can lose weight. You need to take a breath. Don't take a walk around on yourself or while on the phone. Lose some weight and sit into a smaller seat. I am not being rude to people who are overweight. It is ridiculous that you're saying that you cannot lose weight. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
I can't catch my breath because
because this bitch won't.
Will you watch that bitch stuff? Melissa, thank you very much for your. I know he used the B word. I'm so sorry. 877-876 Phil, and I'm listening to this fat guy breathing into the phone. 877-876 Phil. We'll be back with Mr. Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. Should Kevin Smith have been humiliated by being put off of that Southwest American Southwest Airlines flight? And his feeling is no, he should not have. In fact, people with children should be paying extra because children are a safety issue. 877-876 Phil. We'll be back with Mr. Schwinn in a moment. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876 Phil, welcome back to our program. With me is Mr. Roland Schwinn from the organization Americans Plus, an organization, as you call it, Mr. Schwinn, of people who are heavy set, overweight, or even morbidly obese, looking to be treated as equals. Now, you sent something to another caller here a moment ago about how you feel this is a civil rights issue, that you cannot lose weight without sacrificing your life.
The proof, Mr. Hendry, is quite simply, as I said.
No, I don't want to go into the whole analogy you used about, well, if you took a saw and you castrated yourself. Let's say, for instance, that what you're saying is right. You are asking for an entire airline industry to reconfigure its aircraft so that heavy people will be accommodated.
And without question, and this has been done many times, the disabilities. We have... Right now, today I was reading a story about Sarah Palin's child or Sarah Palin's grandchild, I forget who it is, and the child is being talked about, and everyone feels sorry for the kid, and that child will grow up, he'll have a toilet to tire off the ground, he'll have a ramp, he'll have letters written out extra big. But so he'll have everything smooth for him. The way will be smooth. But for people who are size challenged, if you will, we have to listen to a baby screaming, and that parent doesn't pay extra, but we are humiliated by being strapped into two seats at double the cost. No. This will not stand. This will not stand.
877-876 Phil.
Well, your silence there was almost you almost seemed bemused, or you're mocking me.
No, sir, you have a floral way, shall we say, of communicating yourself. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show with Roland Schwinn. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I've called the airlines, and once a child reaches the age of two, they have to have their own seat. So I'm assuming that once a child is too large to fit comfortably and not take up too much space while sitting on their parent's lap, they have to have their own seat. So I feel that if a person is large enough where they're spilling over onto my seat, they should have to pay for two seats. It's the same principle. When my child is too big to sit on my lap and occupy one space, I have to pay for another. It's as simple as that.
Yes, right.
As far as the children
your child is loud. You know, loud and screaming and everything.
Okay, wait, ready? Hold on. Let me say this? All right, look at the movies and every cliche. All right, I'm stuck in between two fat people on a plane, or I hear the baby crying. Well, guess what? If I'm stuck in between two large people and they're both sleeping, there's nothing I can do about it. Guess what? If the baby's crying, I throw my headphones, and now I don't hear the baby anymore. It's as simple as that.
You don't hear the baby. You don't hear the baby, but the pilot does, and that endangers the safety.
I don't want to hear that. Guess what? The pilot's a professional.
Come on, man.
The pilot is professional. He should be able to deal with
it. The pilot hears a baby screaming, and the next thing you're going to see out your window is just mountain and canyon going by at a very rapid clip.
Phil Hendry.
God help us, man.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.